And it's this time on a Monday morning that I am so excited to welcome my usual guest, Barry Harrison. Good morning.
Hey, Cindy. How are we doing?
I'm good. How
what
are
a,
you?
Great. What a wonderful morning, isn't it? Hey,
isn't it beautiful?
Yeah, it's just absolutely lovely. I like this time of the morning, even though I'd rather be asleep in bed. But I like it because it's nice and cool.
It's beautiful.
Because when it heats up, you know, it can get a bit uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
But this time of the morning, it's just there's a little crispness to the air. And
Did you say crisp or Christmas or both?
I said crispness.
Because you told me off last week for talking about Christmas too early.
Now, two things.
Yes, two things. Okay, here we go.
One, fruitcake, a good fruitcake, is not dead.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, I did ask the question.
It has to be a nice, moist fruitcake.
Okay, don't say that word to me ever again. Okay. I don't cope well with that word.
Okay,
but that's
fine.
But that's a fruitcake, really?
Yeah, absolutely. A good one I'm talking about. A good one, not a dry one.
Okay, good.
What the other type?
I thought fruitcake was kind of historically for really old people.
Thanks, Cindy.
No, that's okay.
Let's go with that.
That's okay. So you're okay with fruitcake?
Oh, absolutely.
So you would buy a lion's fruitcake too?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I would buy one too, but I probably wouldn't eat it.
Now, the second thing.
Yes.
What a song. Malcolm Young.
Yes.
Very sad.
Yes. Yes.
But the song you picked.
Yes.
What an iconic song, Bon Scott.
Yes.
And do you know the film clip? On the back of the truck.
Oh, I do.
Driving through Melbourne.
Yes, yes.
It's just an absolutely iconic film clip in the history of Australian rock and roll. You could not have picked a better song to celebrate Malcolm Young's
I'm really
passing.
Happy that you say that. Now, I'm not done with that either. I'll be playing a couple more Akadaka songs before 9 o'clock this morning because it is just horrific and just sad, such sad news.
Look, it is sad, but I think the thing for all of us is the fact that what an amazing band AC/DC have been.
Mm-hmm.
There are many incarnations. Now, I'm a Bon Scott man, and I really liked them back then and probably didn't get into them as much later on. But I just, you know, just what a great group, and they're still going.
They are absolutely
amazing,
still going.
Yeah.
That is more than all right.
Yeah, and I bet you if you watch Countdown on a Sunday night, which I haven't yet, but if you do, I bet you they're on once or twice.
Oh, more than once or twice. I'm loving Countdown. What, are you not watching it yet?
Oh, I forget Sunday nights.
Barry, you and I could talk all day.
We could.
You've brought a guest with you, so we do not want to keep him waiting. Who have you got with
not.
You this morning?
Today we've got Craig Albury. He's the head coach of the Casey Tiger Sharks Swimming Club. Welcome. How are you, Craig?
I'm fine, thank you. Morning. I'm fine.
That's good. Now, Craig's, I've been trying to get Craig on the radio for quite a while.
Yes.
Because the Tiger Sharks are a very prominent sporting club within the city of Casey.
Fantastic.
And they're at both Casey Race and Casey Arc. And so anyone that comes in early, 5:30 a.m.
mm-hmm.
at Casey Arc or Casey Race, there's this whole squad of, I suppose, everything from, what, 8 to 10-year-olds.
Well, we don't go 16. So much. No, I mean, our morning sessions really aren't governed around our 8, 9s and 10-year-olds.
Right, okay.
We might have the odd child that's predominantly going very, very well currently, and we might allow them to do the odd morning, but no, it's very structured.
Yes.
Our morning sessions are governed for the top two squads, really.
Right.
And we have a development squad that we're introducing them to morning sessions.
Fantastic. So before we get on to the Tiger Sharks a bit, you've got an interesting history in
Are we talking swimming here or live?
Yeah, no, we're talking swimming, Craig, while we're on the radio. So, yeah.
Oh, he looks sad now.
Yeah. I was going to sing as well at one point.
Tell us about how you got into swimming coaching, and that was in England, and you've been at England, you've been in New Zealand, you're now in Australia, you've got history with some really top athletes. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the coaching was more luck than judgment, really. I always promised myself I'd never be a coach. And I always promised that once the kids started to swim, I've got two children, Paige, who's currently, well, now 24, Liam's 21, he's still living in New Zealand. And I really did go down the lines of I wasn't going to be a coach. I didn't want to be there. I'd swam. My dad was a very, very level-headed individual who quite simply said, just because you did it never meant they, you know, the kids were going to do it. So I had this viewpoint and a stand that I wouldn't coach, I wouldn't tell them how to do it, I'd let them find their own way. And we by fluke got involved with a club which was my old coach, the coach that I had when I was a boy, you know, and going through that system. And I guess I guess I was kidding myself.
We all have a tendency to do that. But how are you kidding yourself? What? Tell us about.
Well, I watched things and I didn't necessarily agree with the way people did things. And I just thought, look, you know, we're talking kids here. We're talking about them learning something that they don't learn. Swimming is a 10-year sport, and to fail, I know that sounds a little bit drastic, but you have 10 years and you fail. But through that, you have a great lifetime, a great social events, and your great friendships for life, I guess. I mean, I still speak to people now that I swam with.
Can I ask a question? How can you fail if you're learning a life skill that may possibly save your life?
Well, I think we're too caught up in becoming Olympians straight away, aren't we?
Okay.
We win a race at 9 and that's it. We're bound to be an Olympian. Mm. The fact that there's a lot of other swimmers around, we don't tend to see that. And I think that's the thing.
So you're a swimming coach. You went in because you saw that you could probably do it a little bit better than the coaches that were there.
Well, I guess I knew I could if I'm being, all right, if I'm being a bit cocky here. Yeah. I mean,
look, we love that here.
Yeah. I mean, I just watched things, and I watched an old swimmer that I knew coach probably 40 kids on her own. And it's an embarrassing story because I pretended I was on the phone because I didn't want to get involved. And I went back the following week, I went home that night and then moaned to the wife about it, who just looked at me as if to say, well, what are you moaning for? Get on with it. And then I went the following week and did exactly the same, but this time wore a tie, so it meant I really couldn't coach. I love sport. I love all sport. I mean, sport is everything to me and always has been. I guess it just took over. And I do find with swimming in particular, it is a very, very personal sport. I mean, team sports, you're often as good as a unit.
Mm.
If you're a quality swimmer, then it's you.
Mm.
So in England, how long did you coach there and what level did you get to?
Well, the British system's very, very different. It's similar to the Americans, I guess, is that it's very club-driven. The elite side of the sport takes those best kids. So you would have Victoria States, for example, and there would be a program inside Victoria that would take the top 10 kids. We were a very, very successful organization at Nottingham Leander. I mean, they're still the top club now within Nottingham, and comfortably, and have been for the last, well, I left England, 10 years ago, so certainly from around 2000. So they've had massive success through that. And look, I guess the easy thing to say is that the standard that is about getting your club through. The best kids always look after themselves. They always do. They always go to that next level, and sometimes comfortably. I think the British system works really, really well because it takes those kids that don't want to do the 10 sessions a week. We touched on it earlier about morning training.
Mm.
If you don't want to do that, then you tend to lose swimmers to the sport.
You need to be committed to be able to get up and swim at 5:30 in the morning. That's an effort. And for the parents, I will say as well.
Well, behind every great swimmer, there's a better parent.
Mm.
I think for all the listeners' information, Cindy is an ex-top swimmer, self-confessed superstar swimmer.
I didn't say that.
And he's training tomorrow morning.
Do you know what? I will be at KC Art tomorrow morning at 5:30. I will say that. So I will see what you are talking about tomorrow morning at 5:30.
Yeah. So, Craig, you're in England
coaching,
and you got to New Zealand. How did that happen? Like, you don't just one day say, I might go to New Zealand and coach.
Well, it was pretty much like
that.
It was one of those things that I think as a family we'd sort of fell out with England a little bit. I mean, you know, obviously with Brexit and things like this, these are things that have been happening over there for a long, long time. And I think as a family we wanted to give our kids a broader spectrum to have the opportunity to live. It's very difficult to get in, or it's harder to get into Australia. I don't know whether you know that. You perhaps do, but it's harder to get in. It was slightly easier to get in to New Zealand. I think leading up to Beijing, which was 2008, was a massive time for Nottinghamshire swimming. We had Rebecca Adlington that went on to win 2 gold medals and broke a world record there.
Mm.
The 400 free was probably not expected. The 800, I think, was a given after Worlds in Manchester earlier on in the year. So I think we sort of felt that she was always going to get there. And it was at a time that we as a family wanted to, you know, I was fed up with work and I had to have a proper job. So we were fed up with work and we just wanted a change. Our friends had actually moved to New Zealand. And it was almost an easier option. I did promise I was never going to coach again. I did promise I was never going to coach. I was just going to come out and have a different life.
So you moved to New Zealand and coached?
Yeah. I got offered a job. I'm a building... I've worked in the building trade since I left school. I'd gone through the system there. So from apprentice joiner all the way through to a project manager. Was lucky to work on one of the biggest prisons made in the UK, which was at Peterborough. And that was a great experience. Went over to New Zealand, thought, all right, okay, we'll just do a bit of building stuff, and then got involved in swimming again. And there's a slightly separate story to that, is that Liam had decided he was going to keep swimming. We didn't quite know what we would do as a family anyway, and he wanted to swim. And again, you go and you sit and you watch and you think, oh, not sure we should be doing that.
So did the phone and the tie come out again?
Yeah, phone, tie, and...
But you were standing and you were kind of walking a little bit towards... And...
No, look, I think once we'd had the success that we'd had in Nottingham, and I mean, I'm talking, we took a club, okay? So we took a club like the Tiger Sharks from... to swimming against the big meccas of the sport, you know? We're swimming against the cities. You would swim as Tiger Sharks against the best kids in Melbourne.
Wow.
And we were beating them. Wow. You know, we were competing. We had a very, very good patch, a very good purple patch of kids, and it was a great time.
So we're running out of time. We could talk about this for hours, couldn't we?
All day.
But how long were you coaching in New Zealand? How were you?
So I had seven years there.
Right. What brought you over here to Australia, to Casey, to Tiger Sharks?
I think the club had been in a position where it had gone through a bit of a spell where things weren't quite right, and I guess the challenge, I think, for an English lad growing up, Australia is one of those places where you're very close to us as well. I mean, we've got the Ashes coming up, so obviously that was a big draw for me as well.
I
mean,
I noticed you didn't say anything there about
I didn't, if I'm being honest. I'm not quite sure where that's going to pan out, but I mean, I will remind you when we win.
I have a funny feeling you will too.
I don't know. I'm not sure. So no, it was, and once I was back into swimming, I was very fortunate. Liam had gone very, very well, and I'd been around a lot of kids that were very, very good kids. Again, we did very, very well. We got them on the international stage. And I guess Australia is regarded as a mecca of swimming, and you've got to go and challenge yourself in that environment. Mm. And I thought that would be it. I'm a big believer, and been fortunate enough to redevelop clubs as well. We're going through a massive development stage here. And that was a turn on.
So you arrived, what, 18 months ago to the Tiger Sharks?
So I arrived here. So this will be my second, my third state. So I came over, I'd gone back to England for a family holiday. When I decided I was going to leave Wellington. And I came over, watched the States then. I decided I was going to come and take the job. And I went and watched that. So this is the third state. So that would be 2015.
And the state championships is what you're referring to, and they're on next month in
they're
December?
They're on from the 10th of December. We've got 35 swimmers qualified, which is fantastic.
That's great.
Wow.
So we've done really, really well. And the real pleasing thing is that I'm a big believer of that you develop your base first. A lot of those now, I've got 13 swimmers that are in there that are, it's their first states championship. So we've done really, really well. Yeah.
So congratulations for a start. Thank on you. That wonderful number of swimmers and developing the foundations for a successful club going forward. What's happening at the Tiger Sharks? Talk to me or talk to us about the Tiger Sharks. Where are you going? What's the transformation? Because I am seeing you helping to transform the club. Yeah. Where's it going?
Well, as high as we can take it. I mean, I think one of the problems I have is I don't believe in second place.
Oh, I like him.
So so we've got a problem straight away, which is we'll get there. And how quick that will take. We're in a big, big phase. As I say, I can't express that enough. We're almost starting again, although we've got a great bunch of kids. We've got a great bunch of kids that are wanting to learn. There's a lot for them to learn as well. So even from just training capacity through to the way we sprint, we had the Victoria State Sprints Champs, you know, 8 finalists a medal, or sorry, two medals, a silver and a bronze, which was not really expected, if I'm being really, really honest. I felt we were in there to compete, and that's what we've got to do. We have to start to compete, and then who knows where it'll take us, really.
Absolutely.
The aim is to the top, obviously.
Absolutely.
Barry, we're running out of time. I know that Craig could probably talk for... You did say that, underwater. And I love that concept as well. We're going to have to bring him back at another time.
Absolutely.
What else? Before we go, before I let you go, I just need to shout out to the team at KCR who have really looked after me in the last few days. I'm really, really excited to be heading in tomorrow. I'm going to meet Natasha tomorrow morning at 5:30.
Fantastic.
And she's going to put me through my paces. So looking forward to that as well.
Look, just quickly, I think this is the thing, and this is what we pride ourselves on. Once you get in there, we have our staff there to help you. Now, whether you've been there, like you're just joining, whether you've been there 6 months, whether you've been there 6 years, some people have been over 15 years at Casey Ark.
Wow.
If you need help, if you want some guidance, see one of our staff, and they will help you up there in the health club.
I am so looking forward to it. I will keep you informed. Craig, thank you so much for coming in this morning. It's been great to have you. Now, Barry, I can't let you go this morning without playing another song for you. Malcolm Young, we've lost him over the weekend. Really, really sad. Let's do this, shall we? It's Highway to Hell. It's Breakfast with Cindy. Barry Harrison, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy.
See you again next week. It is Breakfast with Cindy, KC Radio, 97.7 FM.